Hey, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Sam.
And I'm Nadja. Welcome to the podcast where we encourage you to seek God overall.
Because he cares so deeply about every area of your life. Check us out on YouTube and Instagram at God Overall Podcast.
And don't hesitate to share this podcast with a friend or loved one. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to God Overall Podcast. I am Nadja.
I'm Sam.
And we're back again with another
episode. 22.
You got the numbers down pat because I definitely did not know what number we were on.
And that's fine. Someone got to keep track, right?
Yeah. We had a good day today.
Yeah.
Went on a little date.
Mm-hmm.
Courtesy of this guy.
Yep. Guess how much I paid for the date.
Oh, my God.
It's none of your business. But God looked out. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, so yeah, thank y'all for tuning in and just being a part of the movement, the community.
All right, so last week we did a little question and answer session, I guess you can call it, where one of our subscribers asked us a question, asked our godly advice on a situation, and we gave them that advice, right? So this week we have another one, and we keep these all anonymous just because that's how we prefer to do it. But if you guys don't mind not being anonymous, just let us know, and we will do otherwise. But this message we got says, do you want to read it?
Sure.
Wait, maybe I should read it, because there's a part they asked me to censor. You remember?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Do you know when you're going to get to it?
No.
Okay.
I get to it when I get to it. Go ahead, read it.
Okay. I wanted to get both of y'all's advice on my current situation. My BF and I have known each other since the age of 7 through 8. We grew up in church together and now currently go to the same church. He is a pastor's kid and his parents are my current pastors. Our relationship has been on and off for about 1 year and 3 months now. Towards the beginning, he would break up with me and then get back whenever we had conflicts. He broke up with me 3 times. During this time, I've also felt like his parents didn't really want me with him. Recently, he has gotten mad at me because in a conversation, we happened to talk about me having a certain health condition, which we never spoke about before. I never mentioned it to him because it wasn't really on my mind, and it's not something I'm affected by day by day. Affected by day to day. This was also my very first godly relationship and first time talking about marriage and kids with anyone. He ended our relationship stating he doesn't know if he wants to be with me anymore because of my health condition. This hurt me badly because we've been friends for years. We have not done anything sexually. However, we have talked about marriage and having children due to this. He no longer sees a future with me because it may affect our future kids. Any advice?
Got you. Well, I will say, I'll say it just seems like, I don't know the guy, but it just seems like there's a spirit of fear there of the unknown. And that's not something that God gives. That's the first thing I'm going to say. The second thing I'm going to say, and I'm very passionate just about health issues and marriage because, when I was 14, I was in the ninth grade, going to my ninth grade year, my mom had a stroke, and she was in school at the time. She couldn't really complete her schooling because the stroke took away her ability to, you know, understand things and speak clearly. So, and also, of course, write and read and stuff like that. So my dad stepped up to the plate and helped her finish school. So that means he had to learn and read and all of these things about, you know, her major, something he didn't know before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing that example, I just, when it comes to health challenges in marriage, I just feel that there's a, there should be an understanding that, you know, through sickness and in health. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we say in our vows, you know? And, you know, the fact that he's kind of, you know, fearful about a health condition that's not affecting you now, could in the future, but I don't believe it will, and you shouldn't either. It just shows that he is not ready for that next step when it comes to marriage. And I mean, I feel like he's made that apparent by, you know, breaking it off with you. So honestly, I would say that this is maybe like a dodge bullet and that you should count it all joy. You know what I'm saying? I know it might take a while to, you know, get over that hurt, but that's what I'd say for that.
Well, first, I wanted to just address the fact, before we even got to the health concern, right? You said that he's broken up with you 3 times when you guys had conflicts. And to me, that right there tells me that he's not ready for marriage, because relationships, period, will have conflict. And so I definitely think for you, strictly for you, you don't want someone that's not willing to work through things. Right. It's especially conflict in like health situations. Like, those are 2 things that like you cannot control, because we're two different people, right? So there's conflict is inevitable because we view the world differently. We view certain things differently. We do things differently. Mm-hmm. Conflict is inevitable.
Yeah.
We talked about that in our last
podcast. Go ahead and look at that and then, last one right there.
And then health situations. Now, of course, everyone has the free will to choose who they want to marry, right?
Right.
So it is his free will to choose, you know, not to be in a relationship with you. But at the same time, the reasoning is a little shaky because of the fact that, okay, you could marry someone who's has a perfect bill of health from the get, but Lord forbid anything happen to them in the future, you're just going to leave them. Like,
right.
That's not really, like, his love for a person should be stronger than outward
fear.
Obstacles, challenges that may arise. Mm-hmm. And definitely having a level of faith to, like, believe that you are healed, or to believe that, you know, whatever you're struggling with will not affect your future children. So there's a lot of things, a lot of aspects that, like he said, just consider it a you dodged a bullet type of moment. Because not to say that he won't grow and become, you know, more mature in the future concerning that, but that person is just not for you.
Yep.
And I know that, you know, you're going to have to grieve that relationship because you've known him for so long. And I understand, like, the feeling of losing a friend. But the person that God has for you will be loving and understanding when it comes to your personal struggles, health related or not. And I think ultimately that is what you should focus on, is like just getting clear on the type of man you do want. Because I think this has been a good example of what we do not want, right?
Right. And I also add, just to piggyback, of course you want someone who has strong faith. Mm-hmm. But also I would say for you going forward, work on your heart when it comes to forgiveness towards this whole situation.
Right.
Because you don't want this to leave it might leave a bad taste in your mouth, but we don't want that taste to stay there.
Right.
Because, you know, when you do move on and find someone else, or if he does come back around and, you know, he's changed, his heart has changed, you don't want that bad taste in your mouth. You don't want unforgiveness in your heart. So continue to ask God to help you as well.
Also, I do want to acknowledge, you said, like, when you mentioned it, I guess it took some time for you to mention that you had this health condition, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't affect you on a day-to-day basis. Right. So it probably isn't like front of mind until you do talk about marriage and kids, you know?
Yeah.
And his response, you said he got angry.
anger.
There was no, okay. There was no compassion. Like, yeah. I feel like with these things, we do still miss details all the time, right? But mm-hmm. if there is no sense of compassion, that's also just a sign. Like,
yeah.
the signs are everywhere. So,
And I would say, you know, kudos to you for showing vulnerability. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do in a relationship. You're supposed to go deeper and, you know, find out things about each other that we don't necessarily want to just present automatically. But that's just a sign. Like, if you're getting to that level, I don't think he was at that level. So you guys are just in two different understandings. So,
right, yeah.
Which is fine. But you will find someone who who wants to go that deep with you and be open and, you know, vulnerable.
And understanding. And will love you the way that you need. God knows exactly what you need. And if that was the person that God felt you needed, I don't think it would have went that way. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I hope that was helpful to you. And I just pray for your heart. You know, don't let this be a situation, like Sam said, that just deters you from telling people that information in the future or being vulnerable, being who you are. I think that's a beautiful thing. And someone will accept it and love you in spite of it.
Amen. Yeah, so that was the question and answer segment. If you have any questions, email us at what's our email?
GodOverallPodcast@gmail.com or, you know, DM us on social media.
Thank you. I'll be forgetting the email sometimes because I want to say info
on the spot.
But that's not it. It's GodOverallPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you.
Yes, it's GM.
Thank you so much. So, I mean, just, you know, answering that question and listening to that, it just makes me think about Christ in us. Because there's certain things we tell Jesus or there's certain things that we do that other people may not want to deal with in that instance. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, when it comes to us telling things to Christ, he ain't going nowhere. Like, we tell him this.
Unconditional love.
Yes, unconditional. Yeah. He sees that we did this. We see that we're failing in certain areas, but he still has open arms ready to love us and care for us and go to the next level with us. So it kind of just makes me think not everybody sees you as being deserving of their love. And I'm going to say right now, if that's how they see it, that's cool. Okay, that's how you see it, that's cool. I'm not going to force you to love me, if you know what I'm saying. So I just wanted to ask a question, if you're ready for this question.
We'll see.
So the question is, and let's just be real, like, in the real world, what are some things people do that, you know, deter them from deserving your love? Some things that people do to you that would make you feel like, okay, they don't deserve my love.
Cheating.
True.
Stealing. Yep. Murder.
Yep.
Any sin.
Yep.
Any sin. Honestly.
And it'd lying. Be smaller. It'd be smaller than that, though. Just having an opinion on something. That's not the opinion you have.
That is true.
Because I be seeing it, like, on Instagram and stuff all the time. Like, someone has a strong opinion about something. And it be in the Christian community, too. Like, someone has a strong opinion about something, and the next person is just like, nah, and they calling you out your name. They trying to make you look stupid. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's not love. So, basically, you're saying, like, because this person has an opinion I don't agree with, they don't deserve my love. And that's very shallow because of an opinion.
Yeah, that's a pretty low one. Opinions? I would be thinking like
that's so crazy.
I guess my examples were a bit
deep end. My examples was like the little things or like somebody getting your order wrong.
Dang.
So you want to act all mean and nasty to them.
People do be getting real upset about that stuff.
I'd be like, "Whoa." Calm down. I'm glad I never work fast food.
It's actually funny because the other day it wasn't food, but I ordered some printed like stuff from FedEx or whatever, and they got it wrong twice. And the second time, like The first time I corrected them, I was like, can y'all fix this? They fixed it. The second time, they just like still messed it up. So I was just like, you know what? I could complain and get upset, but I'm just gonna ask for a refund. Like, dang. I'm just go to the company that I made this through, ask for a refund, and find somewhere else. Yeah. Instead of causing like this big like
commotion, like, and scene,
being offended and like,
yeah,
complaining and stuff. And sometimes, you know,
because I'm like, just imagine if God got mean and nasty with us because we didn't read the Bible today. Like, you know, we read the Bible all last week. Come this week, we didn't read it on Monday. Imagine if he got as mean and nasty as we do about someone's opinions or about an order. That would be no bueno. We'd be dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'd be dead. So I just want to, I just really do want to like understand why that makes, why the little things, stuff like that makes people so upset. But I think it has to do with us not knowing that we owe people love, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you literally owe every person love. You don't owe everybody money. You don't owe everybody, you know, all of these other
things. That's the only thing you owe them is love.
That's the only thing.
Yeah. Second commandment.
Second commandment. And then in 1 Peter 2, it talks about respect everybody. It don't say a certain group of people. It talks about respecting everybody. Yeah. So we should be respecting everybody. And I think this is something that's like, it's talked about, but I think it's missed a lot. Because, you know, I work with people and I could just see sometimes we choose not to walk in love. Because walking in love is a choice and not walking in love is a choice. So I guess sometimes I just want to understand why we decide not to.
I think it's because most people are more practiced in not walking in love than they are in walking in love. So you know how like, what do you call it? Like just your knee-jerk reactions, like the things that you do without thinking, it's because you're practiced in that.
Right.
So if you're practiced in being rude to people, that's your first like response is to be rude. Yeah. But when you start to rein it in and allow the Holy Spirit to correct you, just taking a moment to pause there and sink that, let that sink in. When you allow the Holy Spirit to correct you, you then can like not just take the knee-jerk reaction route, right, and respond in a way that is loving, in a way that is kind. And that takes intentionality. And I think most people don't live intentional.
That's true.
Even Christians go in that list of like, yeah, most people, human beings, are not living intentionally. So it makes it to where in a situation you would think this person that calls himself a Christian, they should be responding in love in this situation. But just because they call themselves a Christian does not mean they're practiced in walking in love.
Right. That's true. I want to say, do a story time real quick.
Uh-oh.
About this. So the other day I was at work and, you know, one of my coworkers bought their grandchild. And the grandchild just for some reason loves me. Like, hey, we got the same birthday actually. And she was like, hey, Sam. But it's like, I heard her, but I was also having trying to have a conversation with her grandparent. But I did hear her say hey and stuff like that. But I realized when I got past and went down, I didn't say hey back. I was like, what the heck? So like, I went back and I was like, hey, how you doing? And she just, you know, hey, I'm doing good. Like, stuff like that. So I was like, man, I'm glad, like, that didn't hurt her feelings or something like that. But in that moment, I realized that children who are under a certain age, they just love you. And they forgive easily. Like, they have no reason to be mean and upset because you didn't. But let that have been a grown person. And I've technically ignored them. They would... Because that's really what happened.
Like, they would have been mad at you for the next wasn't on purpose. 5 years.
Right. They would have felt some type of way and been like,
he better than me.
Right. And I would have came in there and said, hey, they would have been like, like, you know what I'm saying? Grown as I don't know what. But anyway, and that just made me realize that not loving is taught.
Yeah.
It's like once you get past a certain age, what you watch and consume teaches you not to show love to people who may have hurt you or said mean things to you. Yeah. So I know you said it's practiced, but it also has to do like with your diet. Like if you watch Love and Hip Hop 24/7, you might start acting like them. You might start being mean to people for no reason. If you watch some of these shows all the time and that's what keeps going into your spirit,
that's true.
You're going to start acting like them. And lately, I've been reading Peter, like 1 Peter and James. And a lot of, you know, what I've been reading is about love and how you treat others, especially like other believers. And I know I haven't been reading a bunch of different like scriptures. I've been literally focusing on this 1 Peter or on James because it's talking about love. And I'm just trying to like, you know, get that deep into my spirit, like, because I don't like snapping on people. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be the person that always has attitude. No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
All the time. But some days, I want to. I want to get to the point where I don't even have that feeling, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, temptation is always going to arise. But I think it's not defining yourself by your temptations. It's defining yourself by your actions. Amen. I think that's even, that says something about the person that you are, says something about your character, is that, you know, even though you feel tempted to tell this person about themselves or retaliate in a negative way towards someone, you still choose to walk in love. Because the devil gonna try it all the time. Yeah. He's gonna try to suggest things for you to do or ways for you to behave that are not pleasing to God. Every day, pretty much, he's going to suggest it. But we have to keep choosing what pleases God.
Because walking in love is a choice.
Yeah. And of course, there will be like, the more you pour, you know, those scriptures into yourself and meditate on those things, of course, it becomes easier, I believe. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it's important not to expect to never have that temptation again.
Right.
I feel like it's similar to like any type of addiction, right? If you were addicted to something at one point, there's still moments of temptation.
Yep.
There'll be moments where somebody that knows you were delivered from that thing, like, hey, don't you want some? And they're like, oh. But you still make a choice. Like, you make a choice to walk in your sobriety. So it's the same thing. Like,
that's good.
Daily choices.
That's good.
And that's what you were saying about, like, the people commenting under people's stuff. I do find that very odd, especially in the Christian community. It's like, I find it so odd, too, when we see all these, like, videos of other Christians speaking against certain, like, just a lot. It's like almost like Christian gossip blogs.
Technically,
like, it's kind of weird. Like, okay, I understand, like, speaking against false prophets and this type of stuff, but, like, you just basically talk about everybody in the Christian community. It's a little weird to me. I don't know. I don't get it. But I just err on the side of walking in love.
Yeah.
And walking in love does not at all mean just putting your head down to the evil things that people do.
Yeah, to evil.
But it's praying for people. Like, instead of going in their comments and bashing them for what they're doing, it's going to them one-on-one and having a conversation with them and really connecting with them and understanding, like, why they are the way that they are or why they believe what they believe, right?
Yeah. Because I think that commenting on people's stuff, it really comes from a deep desire to seem important.
So, you know, honestly, I think sometimes, because even it happens on our stuff sometimes, people comment negatively or respond negatively. A lot of it is just a reflection of what they have going on with them.
Yeah.
Like, it really has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's strictly something that they've experienced. And they might feel convicted by something we said, so they feel the need to comment.
And that's fine.
I remember there, I don't know if it's bad to mention this, but someone like commented on the fact that I mentioned maybe I would have a drink with friends or something.
Right, right, right.
And basically like dismissed my whole testimony based on the fact that I said that I would drink, have a something to drink, right?
And your testimony was like very good and probably freeing for that person. But then they were just like, but when you said you would drink, you lost me.
Yeah, I'm just like, that's interesting. Dang. Especially being that I'm not a drinker. I can't even tell you the last time I had a drink.
She's really not.
And I never have been. So it's like, it's interesting how the enemy will try to trick people into believing that what they're saying is just goes above loving others and responding in love. And even having a heart posture of love so that you can truly receive what is being said instead of having this preconceived notion that you're viewing everything like through this lens of negativity.
Right.
And it's like, it's freeing when you can view things through the lens of love.
Yeah. And I'll even say, like, when you choose not to walk in love and bash others, that affects other people who see you bashing this person or talking about this person. And I'll say it like this. So I didn't used to like Michael Todd at all. But guess why?
I don't know why.
Because of how other people talked about him. I didn't even look at his stuff, listen to his stuff, read none of his stuff.
Right.
But I'm just going by what other people are saying about him. And that made me naturally just be like, nah, that guy's bad news. Like, he's trouble.
He's trouble.
Or just, you know, what the gossip sites would say about him or like certain YouTubers would say about him. It just made me like, nah, I don't like that guy.
Wow.
If you know what I'm saying. So that's just like an effect of a couple of people deciding not to walk in love and just talk about him.
Yeah. And a lot, and I've heard like bits and pieces of his story and things that he's gone through. And to me, it really, because I think when people are placed on this higher pedestal and they're just followed by so many people, that we can kind of dehumanize them a bit.
Yeah.
As if like we can just talk about them like they don't have feelings and they don't have family and things. It's sad that that's what fame does, but I've heard bits and pieces of his story, and to me, when I see him, I just see another man just trying to walk in his calling. I mean, and at the same time, like, everybody don't got to follow what Michael Todd teach.
You don't have to.
If you don't like what someone's teaching, you don't have to follow it.
But you also don't have to talk about them.
Yeah, and if you feel as though it's going to send them to hell or something, pray for them, genuinely. But bad-mouthing them, gossiping about them is not the solution, because that's not walking in love.
Nope.
And I think it's time that we just be honest even with one another. If someone comes to you, like if people try to come to me and start like bad-mouthing other people, I'm just going to be like, look, I'm not participating in this because that's not love.
Just decide to step away.
But if that's how you feel, I'm just going to pray for you, because that's about to just be my response, because I don't want to even encourage someone in that type of, in the behavior of not walking in love.
There's a scripture that says the prayers of the righteous availeth much, which to me means like when people who have faith, and I feel like you have to have a certain level of faith to start praying for somebody. When you see something is terribly wrong with what they're doing.
Yeah.
That means you believe God can actually correct them and fix it.
Yeah.
So the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Imagine if instead of bashing people, we just pray for them. They could easily be corrected by the Holy Spirit and in that instance.
That's the thing, is like, that I can't. I feel like that's the reason that people don't resort to prayer first is because they don't believe that the prayer has any power to change a situation. When the fact of the matter is, that should be our first resort.
It really should.
And honestly, when you go into prayer for someone, you don't know what God could reveal to you that will help you better understand that person's position and be more compassionate towards them.
Yeah.
And know more like how to strategically pray for them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, pray with an expectation too. Because I'll give another quick story time. My mom and dad, they were going through something very, very heavy,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, my dad called me one day. He was feeling conflicted about the situation, of course. Of course, I'm not going to say what it was. But I told him, I was like, look, I'm going to just pray. Because I ain't really know what to say to him. I've never went through this. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, look, I'm going to just pray, Dad, because I don't. Look, and then he hung up, and I was like, you just, you know, clear your head. Don't say nothing about the situation. Just go to the gym. Do something. Because
mm-hmm.
this is heavy. And I literally, I was driving when he called me, when we was talking. I literally just said, the way I prayed was very different from the way I usually pray. Mm-hmm. It was just like straight authority. Like when mm-hmm. I was praying, I was like, God, I know this situation is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept saying, this situation is fixed. I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm like, of course, like bring them peace throughout this situation. But this situation is fixed. I know you can do it. It's fixed. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'm going about my day. And then he called me. He was like, hey, man, you know how to get a prayer through or something. He was like, I don't know what you said, but hey, you know how to get a prayer through. And I was like, I guess so. I was surprised. Of course, I was surprised that it was that quick.
Right.
But like, I mean, that's the power of communicating with God. Like,
mm-hmm.
it can instantly be a response if you believe.
That's the same thing that happened with us yesterday. We prayed for someone.
Oh, yeah.
And literally today, we got good news. So,
we believed when we prayed.
But
though.
And it was our first resort.
Yeah, that's true.
So. When prayer is your first resort, that I feel like right there is a signal of how strong your faith is.
Yeah.
And if we continue that, our faith is just building and building. We're building upon like testimony upon testimony because our faith is in Jesus Christ first.
Ooh.
It's not in weighing the options or trying to figure it out in our own strength. It's literally in like, Jesus, we don't have the answer, but we know that you have the solution for all things. So we are going to petition right now Amen. That you move in this situation. And every time he moves.
And he wants you to come to him with some faith. Of course, reverence.
Yeah.
But don't be scared when you come to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
even if you're scared, you better come.
Even if you're scared, come to him with confidence. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Confidence, full confidence in him. And yo, literally, when you decide to pray about something that you can't control, you're saying, all right, God, I want to bring heaven to earth right now. Because that's what it is. Because heaven is the only thing that can fix some of these worldly issues that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, heaven is the only... All. There we go. Oh, so you're deciding to bring heaven to earth. You decide to walk in your purpose because that's a part of your purpose as a believer is to bring heaven to earth.
Yep.
So when you pray, when you go completely, wholeheartedly straight into prayer, you are bringing heaven to earth. So you are walking in your purpose.
Yeah. And I think it's also getting to a place where nothing is too small. Because I think sometimes we feel like certain situations are beneath God or something. Like we can't go to him in prayer for this. It's insignificant. Like literally nothing is insignificant.
Nothing.
My mom literally prays for a parking spot everywhere she goes.
Oh my gosh, yo. I want to tell the story.
Go ahead.
So we're going to, I forgot where we're going, somewhere like on a pier to eat like seafood or something.
Really?
Yes. And before we left from our house,
mm-hmm.
your mom was just like, Holy Spirit, I thank you for our parking spot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we heard like the parking was, you know what I'm saying? Right. But she just said, you know, Holy Spirit, thank you for our parking spot close to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we driving through, we getting there. And I look and it's a parking spot right by the door. I'm just like, I just look over at her like, okay. Really? This really works.
It literally always happens to the point that sometimes I'll be using it. I'll be like, okay. If I know it's... Yeah. I typically use it most of the time when I know there's going to be parallel parking involved. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, Lord, I thank you right now for a parking spot that you know I can get into. Because it's different mm-hmm. parallel parking situations. And I know what I'm good at and what I'm not so right. good at. And the Lord be looking out every time.
Because, yo, when you, I'm telling you, when you pray, like we said, you're bringing heaven to earth, but that means you're bringing provision and order to earth. Hmm. And this is one time we were out, and I think we turned onto this street, and the light was red. I know you remember this. And we looked, and it's two dudes getting out the car, like, really about to go yeah. at it. Like, you could see, like, the rage in their faces. Like, I felt like I was road seeing rage. Everything in a close-up. I'm just like, yo. And her mom just immediately just was like, she took authority over that situation and was like, they're going to get back in their car and go yeah, and go about their day.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. And as soon as the prayer was done, they both was just like.
Got in their car and went different ways.
I'm just like, huh?
That was bizarre.
I'm just looking like, I'm over there like, that's wild.
She said, not today.
But I did agree in the back. I was just like, I agree. And then it happened. I was just like, wow. So that was bringing order, because that's out of order. You mm-mm. people being enraged and want to fight over, you know, silly stuff. So
yeah, just speaking on that makes me want to read this scripture, Romans 8:32. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all things? Mm. And I think that is so powerful. Like, he didn't withhold his son from us. So what makes you think that he would want to withhold anything else?
Right.
What makes you think that anything is too small for God to go to him in prayer about? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that applies to us and for others. He has the same heart towards us all.
Yep.
The same desire for us all.
Yep.
And
this podcast is called God Overall. And we want you to put him overall because he cares about every area of your life, not just some areas, literally any area you can think about.
Right.
He cares about. Yeah. So that's the whole premise of this podcast, just in case, you know, y'all forgot. Because we can forget sometimes, but hey, it's all good. But I do want to talk about, so I wrote this. It says, you don't deserve God's love because you can't do anything to make him give it to you. Mm-hmm. He gives you what you need the most when you least deserve it. Yet, and there's a scripture that says, yet while we were in sin, he sent his son.
Mm-hmm.
So that speaks to you on how you should treat other people.
Right.
The person that just cut me off, they don't deserve my love, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give it to them anyway because there's honestly nothing they can do to get me to love them. I'm supposed to be loving them anyway.
Right.
Regardless. That should be my first thought. I should always be wanting to move and love when it comes to others.
Yeah.
And that's how God does it.
Right.
Like, he automatically loves us.
Exactly.
It's automatic. You don't have to, there's nothing you can do to make him love you more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. He loves us all, sinners, LGBTQ, adulterers, murderers, stealers, robbers, what else? Pedophiles. He still loves them. You know what I'm saying? And they, you know, people who do terrible stuff, they don't seem like they would deserve. Or they don't seem like they should, you know, get his love, but it is what it is. And that's the law. So
yeah, you can't change it.
So you can't change it.
Even if you think you're justified in not loving someone that you think is doing something wrong, you're not. Because
you're not.
You may think you're deserving because you don't do certain things, but
still don't deserve it.
There's things you do that if God gave you what you did deserve for those things, you'd be pretty surprised. Like, dang, God. But he spares so all of us to have to go through this, through certain things, because he sent his son.
Right.
And so I think it's a very humbling thing to keep that at the forefront of our minds, that really there's no action that we should be waiting to see from others before we can love them.
That's good.
Like, we just got to love, good. Just like Jesus loved. I mean, that's the second commandment. And it says that it's just as important as the first.
Oh, that's true.
That's what he said.
To love God.
Yeah.
With all your heart.
It didn't say, you know, it's not, because loving others is loving God.
That's a part of loving God.
Yeah. Like, you, come on now. How are you going to say you love God and you don't love others?
You can't.
That's why it is just as important.
Because his spirit is life. So if there's someone living and breathing, his spirit is in them. Yeah. And if you choose not to love that person, you're choosing not to love God. Yeah. So
one thing that I've been just asking God is, like, to help me increase my capacity to love, because there are times where I feel as though there's so much on my plate that I barely have the time or capacity to extend myself to others in a way that would be helpful to them, right, or, you know, just being an expression of love. And so that's been my prayer lately, is just show me how to love others better, or make time in my day to love others. And he's shown me that, like, it could be in simply sending a text message, you know what I'm saying, like, to check on someone, or to let someone know that you're praying for them, or, you know what I'm saying? I think in this time, we can be so consumed with us and what we want to build that we do become so focused on loving ourselves that we're really not taking time to love others. So
that's good. And the commandment says, love others as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So to me, that means, like, same time.
Yeah.
Can't just love yourself and not love others. Yeah. So that's good. So I challenge all of y'all to pray that prayer this week. Increase my capacity to love others and show me how I can love others. Because the Holy Spirit knows all.
And I guarantee you, like, after you watch this podcast, the rest of the week, he's just going to be showing you how you haven't been walking in love. I feel like that always happens.
Of course.
But, you know, don't take that as an opportunity to, like, feel bad about yourself.
Right.
Take it as an, you know, see it as an opportunity to just
grow,
become better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the, like, I want people to understand, like, that a walk with God is a walk with God. Like, you'll never come to a place where you get it all
right,
like, perfect.
Like, you're going to be just,
until you go to heaven.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, y'all, walk in love this week. Choose to walk in love. When things happen that you don't like, or someone does something that may hurt you, choose to walk in love. Choose to love them. So I just want to mention, we have a membership program where we are offering perks to help us connect better with you. Some of the perks include a God Overall chat, an exclusive chat just for God Overall members. It'll be on Discord. Of course, hit that join button under the video to be a part. We got some old, never before seen videos that you guys she looking like, eh. But it's for your enjoyment, you know what I'm saying? So you can also get that through the membership. Also, we'll be doing live videos, members-only videos, and, of course, discounts on merch. And we do have a merch line that we will, you know, be showing y'all soon. But you got to be a member. So, yes, please check out the membership options and join. We appreciate all your support. And, yeah, keep God Overall. Thank you for listening. We hope you all enjoyed that episode. If you want to show your support for the podcast, you can do so by subscribing to our YouTube channel at God Overall Podcast And you can follow us on Instagram at God Overall Podcast.
Also, follow us on Twitter at God Overall Pod. And if you'd like to show your support monetarily, our Cash App is $ God Overall Pod.
However you choose to support, just know all support is appreciated. Catch you on the next episode.